Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. What's up? How y'all doing? I kind of got to be quiet. It's like 9:30. My boy is asleep, and I can't get too loud. So, you know, if I sound sexy this podcast, you know, just know, you know, that's what it is. So please, ladies, sit on a towel for this podcast. That's fucking disgusting. I'm sorry. But what's up, y'all? How y'all doing? I'm sorry this is late. I recorded twice a couple of days ago. I got about 15 minutes into both podcasts, and I hated both of them. So I'm starting over. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. Thank you to any new people who are listening for the first time. I appreciate it. My numbers are getting a little bit better, and I appreciate all the listens. I really, really do. I'm on iTunes now. You can look me up under Chris Allen or Negro Please Radio under the podcast. So please make sure you subscribe and leave a comment and like my podcast. Again, I apologize for this being late. So what's been going on with me? Not in the best mood. I had to spend $300. Getting my car registered. As y'all probably know, I moved to Virginia a few months ago, and I got both cars, license. I got the plates done, new license, and all that kind of stuff. 2 years, both cars, $180. I was like, damn, that's cheap. I was excited. I was happy. Insurance went down, and then someone was like, yo, you need to get that inspection sticker that goes on the windshield. I was like, oh, how much is that? And I'm thinking, like, man, they're gonna hit me for like $80, $16. I was like, yo, that's what's up. This is so cheap to get your car registered. I take my car yesterday. They nickel and dime this shit out of me. Windshield wipers, fluids, damn boot needed to go on a tire rod or some shit. So $325 later, I get my sticker. I had to peel the tin off up the back window because it was bubbling. My car is not in the best shape, man. I bought that car years ago, but I don't want a car payment. I really don't. I'm just riding that shit, man, until I can't anymore. So, fuck you, state of Virginia. I thought y'all were cool, but you're not. I need to find just one of those shady places where they really don't even inspect your car. They just tell you to come back in an hour, and then boom, you got your sticker. So if anybody lives in Charlottesville that listens to my podcast, if you know a shady mechanic that will just give me my sticker, please fucking tell me. Please do that for me. All right, a few things to talk about this week. Guess what? I got an email, finally. And someone asked me, how do I feel about, like, rappers trying to be, athletes trying to be hip-hop stars now? I think that's been going on for a while. But I think that's a common thing. You know, back in the late 90s, you had these athletes. Ooh, I just burped. That's disgusting. I'm sorry. Yeah, athletes wanting to be designers. You see actors trying to be rappers or singers. So you're going to see these athletes doing it. I mean, I think people don't want to be pigeonholed into one thing. And that's the thing. There are people who have multiple talents. But the thing, can I say nowadays? I hate when people say, well, nowadays people do blah, blah, blah. I didn't live 100 years ago, so I don't know. But it just seems like to me, generally, people don't allow you to do something else. Like, if you're good at something else, and when you branch out, people tend to, like, talk shit about that. You know? Lil Wayne, when he tried to do the Lil Rock album, people said it was whack. But before he came out with that, people were like, man, he needs to branch out and do something else. So you can't really win for losing. But there are some people that have multiple talents. I mean, look at Jamie Foxx. That dude is probably the most talented person in Hollywood. That dude can sing, he can do comedy, he can act his ass off. So, I mean, there's people out there that have multiple talents, but when Jamie Foxx tried to do that album back in the early 90s when he was still known for his characters on In Living Color, people wouldn't take him seriously. You know? He had a couple bombs at the box office. But then years later, he does stuff like Ray. He did the movie with Tom Cruise. You know, he did the football movie. The dude showed a wide range of talent on the screen, and he's undeniable, man. So, what do I think of it? I think it's something that's always happened. I think Hollywood back in the day, it seems like you had to be more of a threat. Like, I don't think all those actors back then were that great when you watch those movies from, like, the 1940s. But all that stuff was kind of new. But a lot of those guys, they could sing, they could dance. They had to be more of a triple threat back then. But, I mean, athletes wanting to be rappers, that's who they hang around, you know? And those dudes have money to build their own studios. They got a bunch of yes men around. So if you want to go in the studio, nobody's going to tell you your tracks are whack. Because you footing the bill. You bringing the women in. They getting some studio time. So, I mean, I think this is how it happens. And I actually got into a discussion about athletes with a friend of mine on Facebook. Because a lot of these dudes that are signed to Jay-Z's Roc Nation, they haven't re-signed with their teams. They're taking money from other teams. And in some cases, it's not much more money. And he was like, that's bullshit. That's ruining the game. There's no loyalty in sports anymore. And I think I've said this before, pro sports is about money, point blank. I don't know why people jump on athletes when they go from one team to the next to take more money. You would do it. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you do it? Like I told my boy, I was like, yo, if you work for a company for 5 years, you're getting paid $50,000 a year, and the next company wants to pay you $52,000 a year, I think you're going to leave. So if a team wants to pay you $12 million versus $10 million, take the money. Rings and all that type of shit, it's overrated. I've said this before. Yeah, it's cool to win a championship, but 20 years from now, no one's going to care. All those old-ass dudes that they wheel out on wheelchairs and stuff, and, you know, people get up and they clap for them, 95% of the people, they have no idea who those guys are because they won a championship back in the 60s. No one cares. And neither do those guys. Those guys, are, when they out on that field, all they're thinking is, damn it, I wish I made the money that these dudes are making now. Yeah, it's cool that I have a ring, but I can't eat that shit. It's all about money. Look at the NBA and the NCAA. They want to raise it to the playing age to 20. I think the NBA and the NCAA are in bed together. I'm not the only one that thinks that. They know most of these guys aren't going to pan out in the league, but they're only going there for 1 year. All these chair people, these coaches, these athletic directors, they want to make the money off those dudes. It's like, man, if this guy goes to the league, he'll be out of the league in 3 years. If we can get him into college and we can make him a great player, he might stay for 4 years, and we can make a couple $100 million off of him over the next 4 years. Everybody wants their cut of the pie, but when it comes to that person, the person that's being treated like a commodity, when they treat themselves as a commodity, people get upset. They call them greedy. That's not right. They want to make money. They have a short window. You can do fucking accounts receivable until you drop dead. You can only run a good wheel route until you're like 30. So we might want to tone it down. Shit, it's not cool. Telling these dudes they can't go into a league until they're 20 years old? Really? If there was some dude that was a sophomore in college and some company's like, hey, we want to pay you $90,000 a year, I don't see anybody jumping in and go, whoa, 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 whoa. Nah, man, you got to keep going to school. You can't take that job now. That's bullshit. I think a lot of this shit is racially motivated. You don't see it in other sports. People try to say, well, the NBA is not as good as it used to be. The pros are still going to be good regardless. Have you seen a pickup game lately? It's terrible. The pros will always be better than the shit you're going to see at the Y. People talk about fundamentals. It's like, yo, no one goes to a game to see a fucking bounce entry pass to the post. They want to see wild, crazy dunks, threes, a lot of offense. They want to see Steph Curry. Yeah, the dude is fundamentally sound, but it's just like that's not really what you go to the game for. You can see that. I mean, there are some teams that play like that, but you want to go for the excitement. So let's not act like we give a fuck about the integrity of the game. All right? We're not sitting around watching passing highlights, bounce pass highlights. Oh, look at that dude's chest pass. That shit was dope. If it's a pass, it's some crazy behind the back, through the legs, no look, Magic Johnson shit. No one's watching fucking tapes of people doing the mic and drill. Yo, look how my man keep the ball above his head. He doesn't bring it down. That's dope. Look at his pivot skills. Nobody wants to see that shit, man. They want to see people getting dunked on, people getting crossed up, alley-oops, a bunch of threes, all that wild shit, man. Speaking of wild shit, y'all, this SAE, this thing that's going on with Oklahoma University, I don't know why people are acting all shocked. And, of course, there are some people in this country, they still don't want to have that, you know, that discussion about race. They'll try to, you know, write this off as some type of isolated incident. But, I mean, it's just, that's just how it is, man. I'm not surprised. I really don't have much to say about it, and I'm not surprised. And the people that don't want to talk about it, they don't want to talk about race. But whenever some young brother gets shot, they want to talk about, well, let's talk about black-on-black crime. They want to talk about the shit that we do, but they don't want to talk about the shit that they, quote-unquote, do. But, you know, I'm not surprised. I don't even know what else to say if somebody wanted me to talk about that, but it is what it is. They got suspended. They're done. Good for them. Fuck them. They're young. They'll recover. People won't remember in 5 years anyway. Somebody else saying dumb shit. Ben Carson, black dude, 2016 Republican presidential candidate, did an interview last week. And he was talking about gay being a choice. And he go, his example, mind you, this dude is literally a brain surgeon. I think he was like the head of surgery or neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins, I believe. So probably one of the smartest dudes on the planet. This dude, he said that people go into prison straight and come out gay. Boom, shows you that's a choice. Prison sex and like choosing and gayness, like it's not the same shit, man. But I mean, come on, bro. For a brain surgeon and a black dude to say some ignorant shit like that. I used to like the dude, man, but now he's just a tool, man. He is just saying whatever he can to get somebody for someone to punch his ticket, man. He's a fucking clown. He's a puppet, and he doesn't even look like he believes the shit that he's saying. It's like he's trying to appease a certain group, and it's pathetic, man. That a dude that smart, that accomplished, is stooping to these levels to try to become a presidential candidate. So good luck with that shit, sir. I know you listen every week, Ben. You're right in. Something else I saw on Facebook is this picture going around with this quote-unquote sexy teacher. And it's a black woman. She's got a very shapely from the waist down to be respectful. And, you know, fuck it. She's got a banging body. And people are like, is this appropriate for a teacher to dress like this? It's distracting. I mean, if you're in, like, fourth grade, I don't really think you're looking at Miss Johnson's ass like that. I personally think it's an attack on women that have nice shapes. I mean, not to be insensitive to anything to women that are larger, but it's like whenever you see a big woman wearing shit like that or you know, something that might be not appropriate, people don't say shit because they don't want to hurt her feelings. But a woman that has curves and, like, shape, when I say curves, I don't mean like some big girl who just got big breasts and a big ass because she's big. I'm talking about a woman with a small waist, big chest, flat stomach, that type of curvy. They come down on those women because it makes other women feel uncomfortable. And I don't think there's anything else that woman could really wear that's going to cover her body up unless you put her in a burqa. So, I mean, the skirt length was fine. The shirt was fine. She just got a banging-ass body. You're going to tell a good-looking dude he needs to cover his face up if he was a teacher? I just think there are certain people out there that they like to attack women that have great shapes because they don't have the shape that that woman has. And society doesn't, they don't want to hurt their feelings, so they let them dress how they want. Had this happen, I did a show in Richmond a couple of days ago, and this little cute Asian girl, I'm sitting there eating my food after my set, and she goes, "Hey, can I leave my our coats at your table?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't care. That's fine. Eat my food." And she brings the jackets over, puts them on the chair, and then she goes, "Well, you know, don't feel like you have to sit here and watch these coats. It's okay for you to get up. You don't got to sit here and watch." It's like, really, bitch, you really thought that I was just going to assume responsibility for your coats? I think that's like a pretty girl thing. It's just like they think people are going to go out of their way to like help them out, and that shit was not going to. I wouldn't give a damn. I told her, "Oh, thank you. I'm glad you're allowing me to get up and not watch your jackets. Thank you so much." And luckily, she caught my sarcasm, and she was like, "No, I didn't mean it like that." It's like, bitch, yes, you did. You really thought I was going to be the guardian of your cheap ass fucking London Fog jacket? No, I don't give a shit about your coat. I'm not one of these little dudes out here that's gonna fawn over you. I'm a married man. I want your jacket to get stolen. I really do. So you can learn, hey, not every dude wants you. I had this happen. Sorry for that pause. Miles took his diaper off when he was having some quiet time and got crap all over his room. I had these little Warshak test prints all over the carpet, and I'm cleaning it up, and he was like, "You need some help?" It was like infuriating but very cute at the same time, and I was just like, "I just need you to keep your diaper on, son. I do." And I can't get mad, man, because we wanted it. We wanted him, and you always hear the stories about, when they start taking your diaper off. I'm like, I ain't got to worry about that. And I finally had my incident, and a lot of fun, you know. Dookie on the brand new Berber carpet, that's always a good time. Always. And I don't even like this episode, because I got to be quiet. I don't want to wake him up, and I apologize if I seem like my energy is a little bit down, but I just really don't want to wake him up. But in closing, Walking Dead might be spoilery, so if you don't want to listen, I appreciate you guys listening. There's a show. That's a show. Make sure you tell a friend. The email is at negropleaseradio@gmail.com, at Chris Allen Comedy, ALAN, on Twitter and Instagram. So make sure you guys follow me on both of those sites. And Walking Dead time. I thought Walking Dead was good. A lot of people complaining about it. They thought it was slow, but I mean, it's build up. There's gonna be something big that comes up. Carol is absolutely insane. She's probably next to Rick the craziest person in the group. The way she just talked to that little boy. And was like pretty much like, "Yeah, motherfucker, I will tie you up in a tree and these walkers will come and eat you." She's crazy. But she had to do what she had to do to protect the group. Rick kissing that lady, man. Yeah, it's going down between him and her husband. I think eventually they'll probably end up getting together. Sasha, I didn't realize that she was so far gone. But I think it's just a tough adjustment. I think I said it last week. I just think it's a clash of cultures, if you will. They've been out there for so long. It is, they really are having a hard time adjusting, and those people have been behind that wall for so long. They kind of either don't know or forgot what it's like out there, and it's very, very frustrating for those who've lost so much, you know, out there in the world to see these people talking about pasta makers and all that type of shit. Daryl. It's cool to see him slowly coming around. It was cool to see him and Aaron go on their little quest to find and tame the horse, which is obviously like a metaphor for Daryl and all that type of stuff. That was cool. It's cool he has a bike, and I hope he does take that recruiting job for Alexandria. And I think that's pretty much it. Again, sorry for the low energy and me being a little bit quiet. I can't get too crazy because the boy is sleeping. But thanks again for tuning in. That's a show. Peace out. I'll see y'all later. Thanks again.